more. I think a lot of times when we get trapped in this world of sin and we get trapped in the day-to-day goings, that we might feel like the Lord's upset with us. Maybe He doesn't love us. We know that's certainly not true. But thanks be to God that we have a Lord that loves us and wants us to be saved. I'm going to be talking this morning about calling upon the Lord. What does it mean to call upon the Lord? Our passage is in Romans 10, verse 13. And in Romans 10, 13, he says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means we have a choice. We have a desire, don't we? We have the choice and desire to decide, do we want the Lord? Now we know the Lord chooses. The Lord is gracious. But we also have the choice to follow Him. And the first thing that should be very crystal clear to all of us is that God is sovereign. God is constant. God is always with us. God is offering salvation to all. Not just a few people, but He's offering it to all. But the choice is, do we desire to call upon Him as Lord and Savior? Do we believe that He will bring us eternal life by that call? You know, there is kind of a paradox, isn't there, that we know that God's plan was to save mankind by sending Jesus, His Son, on the cross to die for us. And so in a way, we were predestined. We were predestined to know God, to be saved. The plan was for us to be saved, that is. And yet we choose. We have to make that choice whether we want to follow Him or not. And so many times in our human understanding, it's hard to unravel all that. But we know that the Lord wants all of us to be saved. And I think we need to give that message to those around us who don't know Jesus. I know all of us in this room know many people who do not know the Lord, do we not? It could be family members, it could be people we're close to. It's obviously many people that we see in society, maybe in the workplace or other places that we know do not know the Lord. And they need to know that they can call upon Him. That they can call upon Him as Lord and Savior to be saved. So it's safe to conclude, I believe, that with the freedom we have to choose our Lord, there's also an awesome responsibility in being a Christian and living our lives before Him, isn't there? Being a Christian is a disciplined life, isn't it? It's a life of prayer. It's a life of rededication. It's a life of renewal. It's a life of difficulty and persecution at times also, isn't it? Because as believers, it's imperative that we stand up for our faith and believe in what we believe in and trust God to help us. Paul makes an excellent observation in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 6 through 10. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read that passage. Romans, the 6th chapter, 10th chapter, I'm sorry, verses 6 through 10. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Could it get more clear than that? Could it be any more evident than that? That if we call upon him and come to him and confess his name, we will be saved. I remember that day I decided I wanted to follow the Lord. Those words always stand very strong and clear in my mind. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And I think it's a wonderful thing when Kyle gives the invitation and we have people come up, and that's one of the things he will ask them. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's a confession. That's a choice of faith. That is a calling upon the Lord to be saved. And what a blessing it is. But you know, many people believe that you can climb up the ladder into heaven. Many people believe that I will be saved by the good deeds and the good works. Many people believe that if I'm just good enough, I'll be saved. Just like the apostle said, is our faith in trying to get Christ to come down or us to go up? Is it about us trying to achieve good works and do all we can do to make it, and maybe, hopefully, someday he'll be nice enough and let me in? No. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. He does go on to say in verse 10 that we were created for good works. We were created to praise him. We were created to worship him and to be obedient to him unto death. But we are saved by his grace once we've made that choice to follow him. Again, when we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's not just a belief in God, but a belief that he came to bring salvation to all, and that he is sovereign, and that he is constant. Again, God gave us free will, so we are free to faithfully make that choice to either follow or deny the Lord. It's not something that I'm just born into physically in this life, that I have to follow because my parents told me to do so. It's a choice we make. God gave us free will. Now, maybe some of us would like him to make us do something so it would be easier, right? Sometimes we almost get to where we want someone to decide for us, don't we? But God gave us that free will. God gave us that ability to choose. What a blessing it is to have that way of making a decision. But he goes further. There has to be a conviction of sin. What does that mean? That means when we believe and trust in the name of Jesus Christ, we have to know that there's something to be saved from, do we not? If there's nothing to be saved from, why would we be convicted of sin? Why would sin be such a bad thing? As we were talking today in Bible class, you know, many people don't recognize sin as being a bad thing or being a sin or being something at the level of condemnation. But to the believer, to the one that calls upon the Lord, we have to have that conviction of sin, knowing that sin is sin and sin is wrong. But to not stay there, to know that God is bringing us out of that, that Christ has covered us from our sins when we have confessed them and when we come to him and we are honest with him and know through repentance and that confession of faith that he is saving us for eternal life. And I don't think for any of us right now in 2020, it takes us very long to look around and realize that this world is not going to last forever. This world is very rapidly and quickly fading away and decaying. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. And I know a lot of us, when we were younger, didn't like to hear that. And I know it's hard because we want to make the most of this life, don't we? We want to make this life really special and really unique and really a good place to raise our families and enjoy life and even enjoy the blessings of God. And I think we should as much as we can to some degree. That's true. But they should never override our willingness to be close to the Lord and to be saved eternally. We should be thinking more about eternal life and the kingdom of God that He has in store for all of us, for you and me, because we're His children. You and I are His children, and if we're not His children, let's get right with Him so that we can have that hope of eternal life and be saved. You know, I know there's coming a day, and it's already happening around us. There's going to come a day when many of us are going to have to stand up, and maybe in many cases physically in this world, for the Lord. And we're going to have to make the decision, am I going to stand for Jesus, or am I going to deny Him and just enjoy this world? I know that's a hard one to take. And I know a lot of times we don't like to hear about ultimatums and either ors. But when we've been convicted of sin, and we know what the consequences of sin are as believers, and when we come to the Lord and confess His name and repent to Him, it's quite evident that our home, our eternal home, is not here. Our eternal home is with Him in heaven. And that's where I want to be more than anything. I want to be with the Lord in heaven more than anything in and out of this world. And I hope you do too. I think those of us who have become believers know how important this truly is. And how important it is to raise our children to believe, know, and understand that. That even though God's given us this beautiful life here, or whatever life He's given us here, that it's not going to last forever. We have a hope of eternal life. And it all starts with calling upon the Lord. Paul continues to show us in Romans that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too are buried in baptism and rise to follow Him. Mark 16:15-16 says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, they all came together there. And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about people having the Holy Spirit. As we've been studying in our Bible class too, it's not about flesh and blood. It's not about what's on this earth. It's about God's Spirit being in you and I. It's about knowing that when that Spirit's in us, that we will be rising to a newness of life here, but most importantly, raised to a resurrection of life eternal. And that's so important. That's so necessary for the believer. Even to this day, and I know we use our social media a lot, it's kind of a hard one for me because I've struggled with it. But I still argue with my friend who's an atheist. He keeps saying, Brian, you know, this world is all you have. It's all about your scientific belief and how your body's just going to turn to molecules when you die. And why are you fretting about all this eternal life stuff? Why are you concerned with salvation when you could enjoy all the wonderful things here? And then I hear him talk about how depressed he is, about how this world has failed him. And then I say, yes, it's failed you. Why has it failed you? It's not because you're a bad person, particularly. It's because the Lord has told us over and over again, our salvation is not in this life. Our salvation is with Jesus Christ and with Him crucified. And you know, a lot of people do this. A lot of people like to look for hope, salvation, and goodness in other things, don't we? A lot of times we like to look to the things in this life as our salvation and our goodness and our sustenance. You know, the things that we want, the things that we enjoy. But he tells us in Acts 4, verse 11 and 12, and I want to read that. If you go over to Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Have you noticed that today, and it's been this way throughout history, but particularly today, people want to find hope in something, don't they? People want to find hope in that thing or that money or that special talent or whatever it is that gives them a high or gives them a boost physically in this life. And the priority gets to be so strong that we can see it all around us. People put their salvation, their whole life into something that's going to decay and rot and die eventually. And they may even have a name for it. It comes in many names. The worldly goods, the worldly pride of life comes in many names. And people have trusted in those. But the sad reality is our world is seeking these alternatives, hoping to grab onto something that will last, and it doesn't. It doesn't last at all. You know, I think about something simple as a piece of furniture. How many of you have a piece of furniture that you just love? Anybody have that? I knew a family, they had all this antique furniture they just loved. And I remember there was something that they had that they looked at that a family member had had, and we went over there and saw it. And of course, this was years ago, and then about 15, 20 years later, we come back and look at that same piece of furniture. Oh yeah, it's got broken knobs on it now. Oh, it's got scuff marks on it now. Gonna have to find some way to repair it. Nothing wrong with that. I've done a lot of refinishing of wood before. And the hope is to let that piece of furniture last forever and ever. So we can always keep it, right? So we can always have it. But then I go to my parents' house. And I was laughing. The other day I saw a little old cabinet we'd had since I was a kid sitting there. And I remember as a kid, that little cabinet was just as shiny and brand new as it could be. And today I look at it. My dad said, yeah, I think we're about ready to throw that thing in the heap. Isn't that true with all of us? We even get to the point in our country where we have more stuff that accumulates that we don't want than the beautiful, precious things that we buy that we do want. And even those don't last very long, do they? We look at something that was maybe made in 1975 and something that was made in 2020, and we think, that thing in 1975, man, it at least made it to the 21st century, and today we're thinking, yeah, that's going to be gone in 2 weeks. Is that not true? It happens all the time, doesn't it? But what that's about and what that's good for us to understand is that this world is not forever. Amen? And that's so important for us to understand. And this world, our salvation is not in any other name but Jesus Christ. But look at our world today. Look at how many different beliefs have been coming in, especially since the 21st century, way before then, but especially in the last 20 years, how much has infiltrated our country and our world. and they certainly do not honor Jesus Christ. Well, some people will argue, well, you're being a bigot. You're being hateful. You're being mean. You don't like these people because they have a different religion. We hear that all the time. No, the truth is we love those people. We just hope they come to know Jesus. We hope that they will come to a point in their life where they will come to the Lord. Where they will come to know Him as Lord and Savior of their life and be saved. But I think the most concerning of all is not just other religions. It's the fact that people teach and believe that there are other ways to Jesus. That there's many ways to get to Jesus. You've ever heard that one? That there's many ways you can travel to get to Jesus. But what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. And when we talk to others about the Lord, we need to make sure it's crystal clear to them that they know that. That Jesus is the only way. That there's not three or four different paths or ways or possibilities, as we might say in today's world. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. God has given you and I a great gift, hasn't He? He's given us the gift of His Word. And He's given you and I the gift of being able to minister to other people about His Word. And I really believe a lot of the problems we're dealing with today, and I know it's awful. No one likes it. It's awful seeing all this stuff going on with COVID-19 and the mess that's going on with it. And a lot of lies and deceptions about other things that are going on that just drive us crazy. But maybe this is our opportunity. Maybe this is our time to shine and say, let's take this. Let's take this horrible problem that's going on, this crisis in our world, and let's use it as a way to reach others for Jesus Christ. Let's use it as a way to help them see where salvation really is. Not that we're know-it-alls, because we have to be humble when we do that. We have to have humility when we share the Word of God with other people. But to help them understand that God has given us a great gift. God has given us the great gift to help them come to know Him and to call upon Him as Lord and Savior. So, as you go about your walk, as you meet and talk to other people, or as you live the example, you know, a lot of times it may not always be just because of the way we speak. Sometimes it's by our actions. Sometimes it's by our example. Sometimes it's something we may have done quietly without anyone knowing that helps them see the love of Christ living in you and me. That's the Holy Spirit living in you and me so they can come to know Him. So we must understand it's important to confess the Lord. Confess Him saying, to draw closer to Him, to be repentant of our sins, to come clean before our Lord every day. I have to come clean before Him every day. And I know you do too. And that clears the air for us to be able to receive the Holy Spirit and live for Him daily. And to minister to others. And to help them to know that when they come to the Lord and call upon Him, that there is no other name it goes under. Only the name of Jesus Christ. I want to look at Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10. I love the book of Philippians. Therefore God also hath highly exalted Him, given Him the name which is above every name. That's why it's only through Jesus. It's not through anything else or any other name. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those of earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's going to come a day when everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. But today, why not today we do that? Why not today would we bring to Lord our confession that He is Lord, that He did come to save us from our sins, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to save sinners? That's so important. It's so vital that we do that. It's so vital that we call upon the Lord in that way. That's our obedience to Him. So in concluding this morning, we need to understand that we've truly entered an age where we must decide fully and totally where we stand as believers. Are we truly for the Lord? Are we willing to stand for Him no matter what comes our way? Because I can tell you right now, in 2020, there will be times that we will be challenged. Certainly, we hope it won't challenge us to our lives. I'm with you on that. None of us want our lives to be challenged physically. But there may come a time where we are. Are we ready to be bold and be able to stand up for our Lord, regardless of the consequences? You know, I always like that phrase Charles Stanley gives in his messages. Some of you may follow Charles Stanley some on either TV or radio. He says, always give it to God and let Him have the consequences. Let Him deal with the consequences. Give your life to God and then lay the consequences at His feet. And see what happens. Not see what happens in fear because I don't know what's going to happen. As I know I do sometimes. I know we all worry. I know we all worry right now. We're very concerned about our country. We're very concerned about other people's souls. We're very concerned about our children and our grandchildren. I know I am. But let's be ready and let's help people understand that calling upon the Lord and seeking Him only in the name of Jesus is what will bring salvation. Not my works, not my good deeds, not my riches, nothing, but my faith in Jesus Christ. I hope this has been helpful to you and I today. I hope we will continue on, not just listen to what I said here today, but to take these words home with us and study them ourselves and help be a blessing and a light to others. I want to say a short prayer and then we will enter into our time of communion. Dear Father, thank You for Your Son Jesus. Thank You for the love You have shown all of us. I pray, Lord, that if there are those here today who have not called upon You, that they would call Your name. They would come to know You as Lord and Savior. And I know many of us have, and so I pray that if we have, that we will continually rededicate our life to You and be a blessing to others and help them to come to know You as Lord and Savior. Guide us and keep us. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, we have the Lord's Supper here ready. And the Lord's table is for those of us that believe in Him, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus gave His life that you and I could have that hope of eternal life that we've just talked about. And so here in a few minutes, we're going to partake. When we partake of the body and the blood, we remember and we think back to what Christ did for us, how He died on the cross to save us from our sins. We think back to how that gift brings eternal life. And we know, Lord, we know that without the Lord's suffering, we would not have that hope of eternal life, but we do. So as you partake of the bread and the blood today, think about and meditate on what God has done for you, both now and for eternity. After I pray, we'll have the first two columns come up here and partake, and the far columns come up and take on these sides. as we remember our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are again grateful to you for this time to partake of the bread, which to us represents Christ's broken body, and the cup, which represents his blood on the cross. Be with each of us as we partake, that we would remember what you've done for us and what you continue to do in our lives daily, that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will go forth and minister to others. We ask for your forgiveness, and we ask for you to be with us during this very special time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, if you have a need or we can help in any way to pray, that's what we're here for. Come forward. We'll be glad to help you. And know that God's always watching over us. We do that this time as we continue in praise to Him right now.
Sound that saves.